to be with you all again. If you didn't meet me last time I was here, I'm Tommy Rogers, the Episcopal Chaplain at Johns Hopkins Hospital. And one of the things I love about my job is I have a Monday to Friday job, which is kind of hard to find as an Episcopal priest. So on Sundays I get to float around a lot and go to different parishes, and I really enjoy seeing the diversity of our diocese. And actually, St. James is one of my favorite places to come to because I know this is a good church. There are some churches that have now made my naughty list that I won't come back to. And I'll just leave it at that and not tell you which one of those parishes they are. One of the negative sides of being in so many different places is that I can't remember what jokes I've used where. So this morning, I'm going to use a joke, and if I've used it here before, I'm trusting you all to laugh anyways. Does that sound like a deal?
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. So once upon a time, there were these three mice. Around, and I think I've used that here because no one's got this knowing look on their face yet. Good. So once upon a time, there were these three mice, and they'd lived really good lives. I really don't know how that's possible because mice are pests, but anyways, it's another story for another time. And so they made their way to heaven. So here they are, and they're hanging out in heaven, and St. Peter is making the rounds, and he's going and checking in and making sure that everyone is satisfied and having a good time in heaven. He's sort of like a flight attendant of heaven as well. So St. Peter goes around and he sees these mice and they say, "Oh, we love heaven. It's absolutely gorgeous. The grass is just so green. We just love it every morning. There's this beautiful dew. It's just great. You can't think of anything better." And he said, "Really? Is everything that good?" And they said, "Well, you know, there's one thing. We've got little teeny tiny legs. So it's really hard to get around heaven." So St. Peter says, "All right, let me work on that and I'll get back to you." So St. Peter leaves for a little while, and then he comes back, and he brings the teeniest, tiniest roller skates you've ever seen in your life, and he gives them to the mice. So the next thing you know, they're having a ball. They're just going on, and they're just roller skating all over heaven and just having a great time. It couldn't be better. Well, then, there was a cat. And this cat had lived a really good life as well. And so this cat went to heaven. So St. Peter, again, is making the rounds, checking in on everyone, making sure everything's going well. And the cat just raves about it and says, "I love heaven. It blows my mind. It just can't get any better than this." St. Peter said, "So tell me, what is the best thing about heaven?" And the cat said, "I just love the meals on wheels." If you didn't get that one, you'll get it in the parking lot. Anyways, this morning I wanted to think with you just briefly about the passage that we just heard from the Gospel of Mark. It's really just a short story, but it comes right at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, which happens to be my favorite gospel. And it's interesting that it's right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and what happens? A crazy person comes out. Now, have any of you all been in church very long? If you're in church very long, guess what? You run across some crazies. Now, I know at St. James, you all have never had a crazy person in leadership. Not anyone on the vestry that's been crazy or anything like that. I say that tongue in cheek because I know Portia very well, your former rector, and I've heard stories. But what's interesting about this is, what does Jesus do? Jesus stops what he's doing and he takes care of it. He speaks with an authority and acts with an authority that they've never seen before. And I think that's why this passage is so important. And it's so amazing how the lectionary has this come up right here, right now for you all. Because you all are in the process of receiving names for your next rector. And let me tell you, you're going to go through this pile of I don't know how many names, maybe 50 or 60, and venture to guess, just because the general population has crazies in it, there's going to be a few crazies in that pile. So what do you need to do? What does Jesus do? Isolates the crazy, and he does cast out a demon. I don't really encourage you to do that. If you have, you know, a priest come here, they're really crazy, don't lay hands on them and cast the demon. Because then seven might come and enter in. But don't even entertain it. Those of you that are on the search team, I really hope you trust your God. If you meet fit for us. I can't quite put my finger on it. Trust it. Trust it. It's the Holy Spirit. It's something inside of you telling you no. And if you don't listen to it, you regret it later. Trust me. So, without telling you too much, I was in a parish that was in an interim situation. So I was the associate rector, and we had a really talented, really wonderful interim. And one of the key things is you have to be prayed up. Pray during this time of the life of your church. Because it is so important that you get the right person. And I really hope that you realize what a great church this is. I'm going to say it one more time because I want it really to sink in. St. James Mount Airy is a great church. And you all deserve nothing but the best. Like I said earlier, Portia was a good friend of mine, and I know she has laid a really wonderful, solid foundation here for someone else to help and lead you into the future God is calling you to. So now is an important time. If you have some friends who haven't been to church much during the interim period, call them. Say, I need you to come to church. I need you to be here. I need you to be praying with us right now because we really want the right person to come in and to lead us forward into the future. This is such a critical juncture in the life of your parish. And I have every confidence that you are going to call the right person for this congregation and that this solid foundation is just going to grow. And that this congregation is going to grow. Now, one of the things that I experience, I travel a lot and I go to a lot of parishes. Let me tell you what you all have going for. You have this beautiful building. Being a new building, you don't have a lot of deferred maintenance. That's going to be really appealing to a lot of people. Number two, I love every service that I've been to, the 8:30 and this one, you have intergenerational worship. You've got kids, you've got adults, you've got the elderly. You've got this wonderful mix of people. You have so much. So I really hope as you talk to these candidates, you talk about everything. Sell yourself. Be proud of it. The other piece is, don't just tell them the good stuff. Every church has skeletons in its closet. If you think about your family, you have some skeletons in the closet. I could bring some of my family here now, some cousins, some aunts and uncles, that would make all of you blush. It's part of who we are. None of this is perfect. So don't be afraid. Don't think you'll scare the candidate off. You've got to be honest. You've got to talk about the tough stuff, too. Because it'll come out initially. And if you don't own it and talk about it, they're going to think you might be hiding more. So right now, really, be in a season and a time of prayer. Be in a time of thanksgiving for all that God has blessed you all with in your past and where you're going forward in the future. I can hardly wait to see who you all call next. I know it's coming this year. And at the same time, don't rush the process. Make sure you pray and you select the right person. So it's exciting to be here with you all. It feels like we're on the threshold of something new, something fresh. And so this is a great time to be involved and to make your voice heard for what you want next for this congregation and this faith community. Thanks be to God. Amen.